In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have Eleanor McCullen with me today. But today I have a sense that there is someone out there that has been pregnant and is experiencing that she wants to go to an abortion clinic. I do not say that unless I really sense that to be true. And I do sense that to be true. And I'm telling you, this broadcast is for you especially. For you especially. Because no one gives birth to a baby and regrets it. No one gives birth to a child and regrets it. So today, I want to do this broadcast for you so that this Christmas, you'll know that you are carrying a beautiful boy or girl and that God wants that child to be brought to the earth.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here with Father. And, of course, it's a very important subject today. And, oh, Father, I know I've said this, that everyone that I've worked with over the 14 years, I just keep hearing, yesterday, I'll tell you what happened yesterday, and the mother said, thank you for being there, thank you for coming into my life. I've heard it so many times, thank you, we have our baby now. I've never had any regrets. Now, having said that, there are challenges. Every life has a challenge, but it's a challenge. There's no other better challenge than to bring a new life into the world. And it's not just one life. It's generations of lives that will go on and on and on just because of that one life. And one life can change the world. And when I meet people, Father, of course they're challenged. There's something going on. But that's why we're there to say, you know, we recognize that it's not easy to be pregnant. Maybe if you're out of work or maybe you have to move to a new apartment. But that's why we're there, to help you to accept that child in the womb. And you will be blessed triply, quadruply. And you will always know that you rose to the occasion. You took responsibility. You built character. You got that job. You did move. And you also have that baby. So you have to recognize the challenges. And that's where I meet people. And I'm there to offer them help because you do feel alone and you do feel abandoned. But never has anyone, and I would say somebody might have called me, but no one, to the contrary, I get thank you. Thank you, we got through the crisis. See, that's the important thing. When it's legal to have an abortion, Father, they rush right in. They think my life will get back to normal, and I'll just rush right in, and it's legal. How bad could it be? And somehow the moral part of it just doesn't even come to their minds. Because they just want to get back to normal living, whatever that is. But see, the problem is, Father, that they do not get back to being normal, because a mother, even in 3 or 4 weeks of the fetus in her body, she's bonding. She's a woman. She's a nurturer. She cares, and she knows when she goes and has that abortion that something is missing from her body. Something living is gone. And what is that living thing? It's a future little life, a little human being, a little boy or a little girl. So we're there to, when we meet people, we're there to admit there is a challenge, but to say that with God's help and our practical help of housing and financial and medical, we work out of St. Elizabeth's, we surround them with love, and they go on and they do have the baby. So whoever's listening, I recognize the challenge. I recognize the dilemma. But go get some help at Pregnancy Help in Brighton or wherever you are, whatever country, whatever state. Search out a crisis pregnancy center. Go there. They will help you. They will show you the baby in the womb. They will not charge you any money. They will help you. And together, with the group that you have chosen and yourself and your family, you can do this. I said yesterday, I'll tell you what happened yesterday, Father. Well, yesterday we went to the cathedral. One of my mothers had twins, and beautiful little children were christened yesterday. And Father Felipe and Father Eric Hayden, they celebrated the baptism, and it was absolutely incredibly beautiful. And this is another invitation for people that are Christian and maybe they haven't had their children baptized, whether they're infants or whether they're 10 years old. You could contact Father and think about having your child baptized or christened, whatever name you would like to use. It's a beautiful Jesus. You claim your child for Jesus, and you become a new creation through the sacrament of baptism. And all the prayers are beautiful. And so I'm sure somebody's listening, Father, that they say, you know, I've been thinking of having my child baptized, and I never got around to it. So now's the time. In the next week or two or three, you could go to the cathedral. You could call Father Tom, go to your parish, and get your child baptized or christened, because it was just lovely. And so we did that yesterday. And then during the week, Father, we had an excitement, too. And it's a good chance for me to talk to people perhaps that feel they're in a high-risk pregnancy. Maybe they're older. Maybe they've been drinking alcohol or smoking, and they think, oh, my gosh, how can I have a healthy baby? And so many times, Father, a woman will go to their doctor and tell the doctor, and the doctor is quick to say, believe it or not, oh, well, if you've been smoking, you better terminate this pregnancy. But that's foolishness. I don't understand how doctors can just say that, just kind of offhand quickly. So always get a second opinion and go to a doctor that's definitely for the mother's health, but then also is very for the baby's health and for the baby to be born, because we're first for the mother's health. We want the mother to be healthy. But we have a wonderful doctor over at St. Elizabeth's, and she does deal with high-risk pregnancies. So whoever's listening, if they think they're high-risk, whether they're older or something's happening in their body, search out in your town a good doctor, gynecologist that's very pro-life and high-risk, and go there. Don't just take opinion of any doctor that you go to, because they're not always right. And Dr. Linda Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, I'm sorry, her first name is Lucy Bayer. She deals with this in the Boston area. And she will go first for the health of the mother, because this is what happened last week. The mother felt that she just couldn't go on. In fact, her doctor actually said, I think we could terminate this pregnancy because of this and this and this. But see, Lucy Bayer has a whole different idea. She's going to check the records, and she's going to go for the health of the mother first. But she said she can also save the baby. And they are delighted, because they really wanted to have the baby, but they didn't want to have maybe something happen to the mother. So I say search out. Don't just take one opinion, because, Father, after a woman has an abortion, it's not good. They feel desolate and not just depressed. If you felt alone before, after an abortion, Father, you feel so empty, so abandoned, so desolate. And so we're there to just tell women, wait, get a second opinion. Go to somebody that really knows what they're talking about and have that baby. So that's what happened this week. We went over to Pregnancy Help, and Dr. Lucy Bayer is working with this young woman, and everybody's delighted, and we're praying, and I believe everything will be fine for this mother-to-be. Because, you know, Father, when I say they're desolate, it even happens in Planned Parenthood. For instance, when people go into Planned Parenthood, they think this is their answer. And they're not willing sometimes to stop and say, you know, what can you do to help me? They go in. Now, in the waiting room, there might be some small talk and maybe some nervous laughter while they're waiting for their number to be called. They don't go by names, you know, Father. They go, I guess they say, because of confidentiality, but you're called like, you're called by your birth date, like 9-4 or What's your birthday, Father? September 9/29. I mean, what kind of a cold, cruel thing is that? But that's what they do. You're called in by number, and the waiting room might have a little talking and, as I say, nervous laughter. And it's clouding over what everybody's about to do. But I have been told that the recovery room is an entirely different story. There's no smiling in the recovery room. There's no small talk. There's no talk at all. It's very quiet in the recovery room.
And somber.
And somber. And tears, muffled tears, muffled crying. And I've been told that from a person that was there, and it's incredibly sad. It's incredibly sad. When they go in, they think this is going to be fine, and within 3 hours, desolation. And we had a couple last week that came out, and then she was crying, heavily crying, walking down the street. I said, would you like to stop and pray with me? And they're just so upset that they're numb, because they realize quickly what has happened. And then some people go home and they submerge that depression and that desolation in alcohol or maybe some drugs. And some people live with it like that, under the alcohol for so long, the pain being deadened, until someday, maybe a year later or 2 years later, sometime, it washes over them like an ocean. Like, oh, I can't believe I did that. They know what they have done, Father. And so if anyone's listening, trust me, we can help. You can get help wherever you are, across the country. Please get help. Go search out somebody. God will honor you, and he honors birth. Imagine how happy he is when we receive that beautiful miracle of life that he has placed in a woman's womb. I mean, how imaginably beautiful is that, that a woman can give birth in the next generation, she can give birth to a person, a life that can change the world. You know what they always say, Father, why doesn't God cure cancer? Well, guess what? He's been trying to cure cancer, but we're taking the cure for cancer out of the womb. And you could go on and on with other things that we're just destroying ourselves by playing God. And he's trying to help us with solutions and cures. But no, we want what we want, and we want it yesterday. And if we want to take that baby from the womb, then we're going to do it. And as we've said before, Father, we have a heartbroken God. So anyone that's listening, don't be afraid. Go someplace, get some help, call Father, call me. There's help. You will not feel abandoned. You will be blessed. You will be filled with joy. You will have a healthy baby boy or a baby girl.
For women who have been subject to abortion, there's healing. There's healing that God wants you to be completely healed by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for you. But you've got to come to the truth of what you've done. You've got to come to that truth of what you've done. And God will heal you through the power of the blood of the Lamb. This is so important to know, that no one needs to be under that torment for the rest of their life. We have confession, and we can confess our sin, and we can remember that God forgives sin through the blood of the Lamb, that no one needs to carry the guilt of abortion for the rest of their life. The Lord wants you healed. And if you are pregnant, the Lord wants your child to be born. This is the word of the Lord. I remember having a broadcast like this one other time, and that was in Washington, D.C. It was the time of the big march, and we were snowed in, and we used the telephone in this convent, and I started to proclaim that there are people out there that are going to have an abortion, and that this broadcast was to tell them they didn't need to do it. We received two calls that women changed their mind. That was 100 years ago, my Lord. It's been, you know, maybe 25 years ago. So this is God's work. We want God to do something for you and for your child. He cares about you. That's the first person he cares about. And he cares that you won't have to carry this torment for the rest of your life. Eleanor?
Yeah, that's true, Father. The rest of your life, people think, oh, I'll get over it in a week or two or a year. But, you know, it's one of those things. A lot of things in life we do get over. But this is something, it's so major, it's so big that you don't get over it. And people might say that they do. But then all of a sudden, they see a three-year-old in a stroller. Something comes along, and it all comes back to them again. And so it's a constant. So you're right, Father. Go get some forgiveness. Go to confession. If you don't go to confession, go to your minister or your rabbi. Confess it to them, and then move on with your life. But admit, like you're right, Father, admit that that's exactly what happened. But that was then, and this is now, and the Lord will make you a new creation, and you can go on, and perhaps you can even go into the ministry and help people. A lot of people do in that group called Silent No More. They speak out, and they said that's a healing for them each time they do that. And some people that help me with the care packages and the baskets and blankets, some of those people have been involved in an abortion, and this is a healing for them. So you can turn your negative into a positive. The Lord has a way of turning evil into good. So let him do that for you. And the other thing I want to mention too, Father, about, we talked about inmates that, men and women who have been involved in an abortion. And across the country now, different prisons are bringing in Project Rachel or Rachel's Vineyard because they're learning now, Father, that inmates, whether they're man or woman, that they have submerged the abortion. And but it comes out in different ways. Men have now admitted that they've gone into drugs, and the drugs brought a gun, and the gun shot somebody, and they never thought it was because they drove somebody to the abortion mill. And so it's becoming very prominent now across the country. And women too. Women got themselves into something and they ended up in a jail. So we have to address that particular part of society and make sure that they understand about mercy and forgiveness. And then they can help other people to perhaps come into the prison, recognize that a long time ago, it was something that they did that finally is manifesting itself. And it did, and they ended up in prison. So I welcome anybody that's listening that if they're in a prison, that they talk about that out loud and admit it, and it will be so much healing going on there, Father.
You see, God does not want us to be tortured with sin. The reason why Jesus came was to blot out sin, to blot out sin once and for all by the blood that he shed on the cross. The Lord has plans for you, and they are good plans. The Lord has plans for your child, and they are good plans. But you have to walk in those plans. You have to submit to him. No one's saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beautiful. Something that's not easy will be beautiful. When you look into the eyes of that child. Just yesterday, we had a three-month baby that came to lunch, and oh my gosh, she looked at me and she started to smile. She started to smile. It was like worth $1 million. You know, that's so beautiful that this baby just looked at me and started to smile. And this is real. This is absolutely real. And no one with a problem pregnancy needs to destroy the child, needs to destroy their life. No one has regretted having the child, no one. But there are so many regrets when people eliminate the child through abortion.
Yeah, and I'll pick up on that last word, abortion. How about adoption instead of abortion? We have loving couples, Father, that cannot have children. It's always a mystery. There seems to be so many that aren't having children, and they would welcome. These are good families, beautiful families, and nowadays you can meet the family. It's an open adoption. In the years gone by, they were closed adoptions. Now you can meet the couple. You know where your child will be. You can exchange some photographs and letters. So adoption instead of abortion. And one thing, I'm getting back a little bit, I'm thinking about the christening, Father, of somebody's thinking, yes, I will have a baptism. You know, I still want to mention Father Felipe. Now, he speaks Spanish. So yesterday, our christening was 95% Spanish. So if anybody's thinking that appeals to them, the cathedral, Father Felipe, will be happy to do that. He works with the Spanish community there. He works with mothers and fathers. He does counseling. And he's welcoming anyone that would like to come there and have their child baptized Spanish or not Spanish. But, and then Father Eric Hayden, he did the English part, Father. But there's no excuse. Get your child baptized. Let that be a Christmas present for yourself, whoever's listening today, mother or father. Just do it. It's a beautiful thing to have your child baptized.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, the graces of baptism. I remember there was a child that was dying, and I remember going on a Tuesday night after the prayer meeting when I was at Sacred Heart in North Quincy, and I found a styrofoam cup, and I baptized that child in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He was completely healed. Completely healed. He was dying, but now through the baptism, there was a powerful experience of the Lord's love and of the Lord's presence and of the Lord's healing. Many people have experienced that, not only me, but I remember because it was a styrofoam cup. That was the only thing that they had that I could put water in. And I blessed the water, and I poured it on the child's head, and the next day there was no sickness, completely healed. Now, this child is just graduating college now. Imagine if I had not baptized that baby. Imagine. This is God's work. God works through anything that we do in faith. In faith. Again, a styrofoam cup. How ordinary. But something extraordinary happened to that child. That child was healed. That child was completely and totally healed and now has graduated college.
Well, that reminds me, Father, yesterday I forgot all about it. It's funny how you forget miracles, which we shouldn't do that. I mean, I'm not sure this is a complete miracle, but yesterday the mother said that her little boy has asthma. And she noticed that after the baptism that he seemed to be breathing better and it didn't seem to be happening. She commented the asthma seems to have gone away. Now, that was just yesterday. I'm not going to say it. I'll report back to everybody if it goes completely forever and ever. But yesterday, she did comment on that after the baptism. So there you go. There is a miracle right there. So it's just, it's beautiful. And as you point out, the sacrament of baptism, it's just an incredible, you feel better. And you, because you're claiming your child for Christ, and you're going to become a new creation in whatever age, all of the sins, original sin is taken away. If the child is 9 years old, imagine, or if the child is 19, you become all new. All of your sins are taken away. And isn't that amazingly beautiful, Father? So anyone, this is a few things to think about. Help someone that's pregnant, that's considering abortion, empower them, give them strength and courage, and pray for them. And have your child baptized. And just we pray that you hear the message today and go forward with strength and courage. And the Lord will bless you. He will lead you. He will love you. He will take care of you. But you must take that step forward in all that we talked about today. Take it and a step in faith, and the Lord will run with you and love you and bless you.
I want to invite people this Sunday to a live nativity at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. It's at 3:30. We'll have all the figures. We'll have the mother, the father, and the baby, baby Jesus. We're going to have shepherds and kings and angels. Oh, yes. And, of course, the baby. The baby is the center of the whole thing. And it starts at 3:30. And we're going to have live animals that are going to be grazing near the stable. This is God's work. This is really what Christmas is about. It's not about buying presents and staying out long because I need to get a tie for Uncle Joseph. No, Christmas is not about presents. It's about Jesus. That's why people don't want you to say Merry Christmas, because the name Christ is there. Some one of our friends went yesterday and had a good day, and they were welcomed where they went. And so she said, Merry Christmas. And you know what he said? Happy Saturday. Imagine. Happy Saturday. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Today is the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary, and Masses of the Holy Rosary will be at 7:30 in the evening. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you abundantly. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.